Okay, I will leave it at this state for you all to develop your meditation, so that I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Then after that, if you want to continue to meditate, you can. If you have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer and Dhamma discussion. Okay, I'll let you all meditate on your own. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajas sunantu sakamokkhalam dhamma sovanan kalo ayang bandhata dhamma sovanan kalo ayang bandhata Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandhata Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahan Samma Sambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Svākāto bhagavata sammo sandhitiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko tācatāṁ veditātu vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Nyāyāpatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidam chattari purisa yukkani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjalikaraniyo, anuttarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Betang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. Today I understand, the rain has caused a lot of flooding and traffic jam. Some of you are caught. That's why most of you are late. But don't worry. We just let things be. Okay, tonight we will maybe do something different. There is this seminar paper that I delivered in the year 2013, August 2013, which is about 2 years plus ago at Bangkok. It's an international seminar. This booklet, I believe most of you have it. I haven't really discussed this in detail yet. Tonight, maybe I will start to brief you all, and I will go through this seminar paper with you all, because this one is very useful, very important. It's good for people who are new. Then also for the older people who don't have a very clear understanding or grasp of the Buddha Dhamma, you can also benefit tremendously from it. It is a very useful paper that gives a lot of clear explanation of who the Buddha is and how wonderful and special a being he is and how unique this teaching is and how it can bring about tremendous benefits and advantages to living beings who have the condition to understand them. And the best is to cultivate it. Then from there, able to live it. The three phases of Dhamma. The teaching of the Buddha is called the Dhamma because it teaches the truth. And Dhamma is truth. And of all the truth that he taught, the most profound, which is the essence of his teaching, are the Four Noble Truths. Because these are truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called Noble Truth. Noble ones are very noble in all aspects of life. They are very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they got right view, they got right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they are very noble in all aspects of the way they conduct themselves, how they arise, their speech. They are very tactful. They are very wise. All their speeches are very elegant, very gentle, very pleasant. Bring about harmony, bring about love and understanding. Then they act with understanding, with wisdom, with virtue. They are incapable of negative action or wrong action, even wrong speech. Every thought they arise are right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful thoughts. There is no more negativity of thought. The evil roots are absent. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that condition living beings into negativity, they are totally rooted out. That's why noble ones are very unique beings. And apart from that, they also have perfect mindfulness. Their state of mind is very different. They are not heedless. They are always heedful, mindful, peaceful, calm, aware within a lot of clarity and understanding. That's why their mind states is very different. And they have this ability to constantly cultivate. They can arise the appropriate for right effort to deal with with all mind states. And they can also develop the right way to live life. And they conduct themselves perfectly, meticulously. So these are all the unique characteristics of an enlightened being or a noble one who are very noble in all aspects of life. So for those who don't have this copy, later on you can collect. I still got quite a number of copies. The title of the topic that I choose to speak on is Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. So I will just read to you all the introduction. This international seminar on life management with meditation experiences and success dated 10 to 12 of August 2013 held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipalivarana Mindfulness Center, PMC. And I was invited to present a paper at a said seminar as a Malaysian speaker. Basing on some of the very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and Dhamma friends who had the condition to listen to my seminar speech and receive my above international seminar papers reprinted notes, I had agreed to allow this international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form for free distribution to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. It is my sincere hope and intention that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees, Dhamma friends, will be able to make use of this Dhamma presented in this international seminar paper to develop a better understanding of the Dhamma or teaching as taught by the Buddha so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser living beings that can be a blessing to all. Yeah. Then the acknowledgement, I think I leave it to you all to read yourself. Then we will go into the seminar paper itself. If you got any question or anything to add in between, you can put up your hand, then we can discuss it. Okay, now I will read on. International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation, Experience and Success. The title of the topic that I delivered was Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. So, the first opening statement, an introduction to the topic, was as follows. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speaker, seminar participant, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is Experiences and Success in Life Management via Benefits of Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefits for us all to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so in our today's modern society where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh. Human suffering are very real, and it is happening almost everywhere, even to our youngsters nowadays. To be successful in life management, we need to understand what is life. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize for us all of his understanding of life, both the mundane and supramundane aspect, into just four noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble or Aryan truths because these are the truths that can make you noble ones if you can understand them. Noble ones are enlightened ones, and they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right views with regards to the laws that governs all of life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves via their right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. They are incapable of negativity. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make a big difference to our life. It is just like we had finally understood the secret of life, and because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great peace, great love, joy, and happiness very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain rather harsh realities in life that can make living beings really miserable, especially the realities of birth and death leading to the whole mess of suffering. He said there is a first noble truth of suffering or dukkha that explains clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world caused by the eight realities of life and existence that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life. Irrespective of your wealth, status, or materialistic success in life, one will still suffer if one has not developed the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. These eight types of realities are birth, old age, sickness, and death. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. They are all suffering if you confront them without understanding, especially getting old, developing all the sickness, the disease, confronting them without much understanding, and pending death, they can be very traumatic. Then the other fifth condition is separation from loved ones and one's possession, like your wealth, your property, your possession, and those things that you hold on to dearly, etc., is also suffering or dukkha. Then to be with people whom we don't like is also suffering, dukkha. Then not able to get what one desire, or when things don't go our way, or when our expectations in life are not met, is also suffering. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, it is these five aggregates of grasping, born of self-delusion or sakkayaditti, that he called dukkha or suffering. When one confronts these realities without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, and grief, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., leading to depression will be the end result. In our modern society, we call them by different terminology. We call them the problems of life, like health problem. Nowadays, there are many traumatic diseases like cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc. Sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, and nature's disaster. Death due to accident, nature's disaster, traumatic disease, Then nature's disasters like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc. Then career-related problems. They are like stress. Career-related stress and sexual harassment problem when you are with people whom you don't like. Then financial problem when you cannot get what you want. Then you have relationship problems leading to divorce, forced separation, etc. Then social and crime related problems when you are with people whom you don't like, etc. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then according to the Buddha, there is a second noble truth that explains to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering, namely craving born of our self-delusion or sakkayaditti. When we have understood what suffering is and the cause behind their arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, because there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the end of all suffering, and this is most reassuring. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done via his fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist meditation or cultivation. This means this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life problems. So there is a way to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest, where wisdom born of this Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by Lord Buddha, we can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment. We are a serene mind in heedfulness. I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefits had helped me so much, not only in my study but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace, leading to inner well-being of body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people, unless they know how to train their mind. In time of suffering, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc., born of health or other life-related problems, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering. Because this inner peace leading to the inner well-being is a very positive calming energy that can help stabilize their mind and boost their immune system, as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances of mind, pancha nivaranas, namely sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties called pancha indriyas. They are saddha, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. We are understanding how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Then virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to follow his teaching. Then the third spiritual faculty is sati or mindfulness, which is awareness. Then the fourth one is samadhi, collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. And finally, the fifth spiritual faculty is Panya or wisdom born of direct seeing. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive this great, his great spiritual teaching. Also, the Buddha exalted. Also, the Buddha's exaltation before his parinibbana to all his disciples to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless or apamadena sampadita. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states clearly, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stress on the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, Cittanupassana, and Dhammanupassana in particular. First, we must train the mind to be silent with inner peace, so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness or heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregates of form and mind arise in you, how thought and feeling arise in you with every moment of sense experience or sense door consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is how your thought condition your feeling, then feeling condition your emotion and craving due to your wrong view and wrong thought, to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by the aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas the heedful, silent mind with inner peace and inner awareness will bring about inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to a heedless mind that is full of thought, fear, worry and anxiety, conditioned by the hindrance of mind, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to the penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living following Dhammapada verse 2, as opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-make according to the Buddha. If mind does not deludedly cling onto the five aggregates of form and the mind as the I and the me and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to have better decision in life, thereby enabling us to resolve issues or problems wisely. One can also concentrate and study better and have good sleep, good and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia and sleep-related issues. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all these benefits, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of living life. So this first part is just an introduction to the teaching, in a very summarized way, mainly to explain to you all the benefits and the importance of his teaching. Then now we will move into something more important in life. Importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. That was the reason why the Buddha asked you to strive on with heedfulness, develop this mind that is ever mindful, heedful. Because without this trained mind in heedfulness, you cannot cope with life. Your six sense door, they arise and pass away so fast. Mind, movement, activity, they are so fast. And if you are not mindful, you cannot cope with life. You will never understand what is going on. You cannot see with clarity, with inner awareness. I will read on, then you will understand. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should inquire deep into them and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Obviously, the past is already gone, so no more a reality. Similarly, the future is yet to come, so it is also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and he has become a bestseller for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deeply is, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. What are you doing within each and every one of these moments? If you can understand this, you understand life, because this is the only reality. Remember, the Buddha always tell the bhikkhu, be heedful, be vigilant, because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead. Following Dhammapada verse 21. That is spiritually dead. Our mind and our thought move so fast with every moment of sense door consciousness. And if we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? The problem with the world today is most human beings are heedless, and they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life, for they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with the thinking and the thought, which always delude them to cling on to the phenomenal world as very real. Their thoughts will project into the future to arise the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling on to. Likewise, the mind will also recall the hurtful or unhappy past to remind them of their scars of memories, hence triggering off the sorrow and lamentation of the unhappy past again. Not able to see the phenomenal world's three universal characteristics of nature, namely impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, or empty nature, they will continue to hold and cling, and this is the cause of all their suffering and life problem. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness, to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is zazen or Zen meditation. Because within that moment, there is just the pure awareness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought, so no fear, no worry, no anxiety, or whatsoever. But just the silent mind in peace and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of mind and body, instead of worrying about life. Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you. Because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why you need to train your mind to be heedful, so that it's constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into truth which is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth and the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma, which is akaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. So this present moment awareness is very important. So if you still cannot understand, you have to go back and read again, reflect, contemplate, and make sure you understand it clearly so that you know how to live. Otherwise, you will not be able to cope with life. That's why the real meditation is daily mindfulness, heedfulness. Then we move on to the fourth understanding. Understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. Now this one reveals to you the big picture, the secret of life, the nature's law that governs life and existence. This is the universe. This is how you understand life. To be successful in life management, we need to understand another very important aspect of life. That is the nature's law that governs life and existence. According to the Buddha, this universe of ours is very unique. First, there is nature, and then there are nature's law that governs all of life and existence within this universe of ours. He called it the Pancha Niyamas, or five universal orders of nature. The first two nature's law, they are scientific law called Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Utu Niyama is nature's physical law, whereas Bija Niyama is nature's biological law. Then the other three are spiritual laws. It was via clearly understanding the two great scientific laws of Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama that scientists was able to progress so fast within the field of science and technology to become so advanced today. Nature's physical law governs the behavior of all physical things. They are related to the law of physics and chemistry that the scientists had developed good understanding. Then Bija Niyama is nature's biological order that governs the behavior of all organic and biological things within the field of biology, genetic engineering, etc. Like our human body, the plant, the animals, the fish, etc. Their behaviors are all governed by this law. Then we have the three spiritual laws, namely Kama Niyama, law of karma, Chitta Niyama, law of the mind, and Dhamma Niyama, law of Dhamma or truth. So similarly, we are clearly understanding these other three great spiritual laws of karma, mind, Chitta, and Dhamma. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field, to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha or the fully enlightened one. It was through his perfection of the understanding of these three great spiritual laws that enabled him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had taught us. Take for example the first spiritual law of karma or karma niyama as the first right view to understand life. In the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha said, we must contemplate daily the following. That this body of ours is of the nature to decay and grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. That this body of ours is of the nature to be sick and be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. That this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. So these three contemplation, daily contemplation, are very important. They are related to this physical body. According to the Buddha, the body is this element, the four elements, the earth element, heat element, water element, and wind element. And there is no knowing. That's why the body is never us. So he said, this body, which is made up of element, they will go the way of nature. It is not you, therefore do not be deluded by it. It go the way of nature, means it will go through decay, sickness and death. And because it is not you, you should not be deluded by it. You should reflect constantly that they are elements following nature's law. That's it. Then the fourth one is, all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, they will change and vanish following nature's condition. This is to tell you, everything is condition arising, causal phenomena. They never belong to you. Because this five aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being, is also not you. Then how can this entity, which is impermanent, condition arising, own anything? That's why do not be deluded by all this. Is it? Because they are condition arising. When condition is there, they belong to you, temporal. Then when condition cease to be, they will cease or depart from you. Then sometime when your breath stop, your identity erased, you also cannot own anything. They still separate from you. So either way, there is separation. Then the last one is the most important reflection. It constantly reminds us of the law of karma. This law of karma is very important, the Buddha said. He said, all living beings, we are all subject to the same law. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. The first four contemplations allow us to develop the contemplative wisdom to deal with most of the first noble truth realities of life and existence. Whereas the fifth contemplation deals with the first right view with regards to the law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important because we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. If we have this right understanding or right view, then what must we do? We must take care of karma. Then how do we do it? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful via meditation to enable us to see all of our mental intention or chetana behind all our action, speech and thought process, thereby enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, and meditate to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded anymore. These are precisely the advice of all Buddhas as stated in the famous Dhammapada verse 183. All evil is to be avoided. Cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, then purify your mind. And these are all the advice of all Buddhas. How do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the minimum five precepts because people who violate the precepts are evil people with the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. How to cultivate goodness and blessing? The Buddha recommends cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So this was how the Buddha's subsequent teaching came about. And through this understanding, one will be able to understand the secret of life, thus enabling one to truly live life meaningfully. Then there is also Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that talks about happiness and suffering in life. This can be elaborated upon if time permits. So this one we have gone through. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So the Buddha said we choose take care of mind. So if you take care of mind, you train your mind. If you act, speak, and think, or arise your thought with wholesomeness, with a pure mind, free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. If you are not heedful, if you don't train your mind, if you allow the mind to do what it likes through heedlessness, then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that will condition the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That it will make you evil, because these are evil roots, root of all evil. So you act, speak, and think with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then the Buddha said, suffering will follow you, just like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. So this part, you will have to understand it clearly, because it is your life. You have to choose how you want to live. Then we go on. Then we have the second spiritual law of Citta Niyama, which is Nietzsche's law that governs the working of our mind, how we function as a human being. Under this second spiritual law of nature, Citta Niyama, the Buddha taught us the Paticca Samuppada, or dependent origination, law of dependent origination, which we call the 12 links. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and that there is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity or a soul or an atta that is responsible for our thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. And all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising or causal phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent. For dependent on condition, they arise. And they will continue to exist if supporting conditions are still there. But they will cease to be once any of the supporting conditions cease to be. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way. Otherwise, suffering will be the end result. And because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can hold on to or cling on to as the me and the I. Hence, anatta, or non-self nature of this so-called human being, or the five aggregate of form and mind of ours. If we cling and hold on to them, then it is self-delusion or sakkayaditti, a very serious self-delusion or wrong view. The third spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama, which are the essential Dhamma or truth that the Buddha has taught. And the most important are the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching that we had already covered earlier on. Then the last part is understanding the meaning of life and the purpose of life. This one is very useful for you to understand life. Once we had understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live our life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life has different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate, because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being, they don't quite understand life like us, because they don't have the Four Noble Truth teaching. For somebody who is quite poor, the meaning and purpose of life is just the 3 meal of food and shelter over their head, following Maslow need hierarchy. But for us Buddhists, we will go deeper into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or seeking enlightenment in the here and the now, so that all suffering can cease, leading to the noble life of a noble one or enlightened one. Because we understand the danger of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness. Two important aspects of life. There are two very important aspects of life. First, there is the mundane or materialistic aspect of life within our existential or conditioned world, followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life because to them this is more important, not knowing that without the spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete and suffering can still arise despite their materialistic wealth and successes. This was clearly explained by the Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the 8 universal realities of life and existence that leads to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite spiritual understanding or wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha-to-be then left the palace in search for truth, to liberate himself from the 3 signs of old age, sickness and death that he saw prior to his renunciation. Materialistic success within the mundane life normally refers to the following. So this one, I think it's a very good topic to discuss for us. In this materialistic world, what do we mean when we want to be successful in life? What was the first idea that you most of you will have? What do you equate to success in life? Financial independence. Got money means you're successful. So a lot of people strive very hard to be successful in life through working for money, chasing after career, wealth and money. Then after that, they think they will have the good life, the happy life. But then when they confront the reality of life and existence, after they strive too hard, they get themselves stressed up. Then they get themselves burned out. I used to have one colleague last time in the listed company. He worked so hard for the company. He was with the company since before listing until listing. Until when I went there, then he almost burned out. Then luckily, I came in at the right time to help him. I took over his job and all those things, then turned it around. Then he got the time to rest. Then he recovered and recuperated. Then you know what he told me or not? He said, "Tio," he said, "I was with the company before it went listing. That time young, I can do everything." He said, "Ta chong, go to war, no problem." Then you know what happened or not? He said, as he grew older age, he was almost my age, I think my year one. He said, he realized this physical body is different now, cannot take so many things. And he was so stressed out. Then he was diagnosed with some sickness. He got heart palpitation problem, heart problem, and certain type of disease. Then he suddenly lost weight and all those things. Then later on, you know what he said? In Cantonese. 整个青春被在公司, all of your youth, or what, your vitality, given to the company, is it? At the end of the day, what did he get? All the stress, all the sickness and the problem. But luckily, the MD looked after him, asked him to rest. Then luckily I was there. He said that job was like a war zone, madhouse. And I not only took over his job, I handled 8 or 9 jobs. All equally heavy and severe. And yet I can do it because I have clarity, I have understanding. Then I resolve it one by one. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress myself out. I don't have to raise my voice and argue with people. I just smile, resolve it amicably, and just do what I have to do. And it's possible. It's only a problem when you perceive it with negativity. That's why I have listed here. What we all normally term as success, which I believe most of you will agree. First one is when we were young, as a boy, what do? You go to kindergarten, then you go to school. Then after that, you go to university. Then you graduate. So you go for academic excellence, correct? Or not? So you can do very well in your academic field. You consider yourself a type of success that you can be very proud of. Then, of course, while you are in the school and the uni, if you can excel in sports and all those things, or you can become like somebody very outstanding in your school, that is also your achievement, your success in life. Like certain people, they become the head boy of the school, or they top the school academically. So these are your success. Then you can also be a very outstanding sportsman or sportswoman. So these are all your academic and career success. Your whatever success that you can develop while you are in the school. Then after you graduate, what you do? You step into the career field. You start to work your way up the career field. You work and work and work until you got no time for your life. That's why don't overwork. Work with understanding. If you do not have the understanding, if you stress yourself out, burn yourself out, then as you get old, you will have problems. That's why maintain a healthy life, maintain a balanced life. Do not allow yourself to be under pressure, under stress. Because all this can actually lead to a lot of what they call problems later on in your life. This body is like a car. You know your car. You don't maintain it well, what happened? You constantly neglect this car. Your car, if you love car, maybe you know how to maintain. Any slight problem, you send mechanic, everything. But most human beings don't know how to maintain their physical health, I tell you. Got so much problem, they said, never mind, it's okay, my work urgent. I got deadline. Not until they collapse, landed in the hospital. They still won't wake up. I got one classmate. We just attended the daughter's wedding. A few days before the wedding, he landed in the hospital, Sunway. Sleep disc. Very severe, chronic. And has to be wheelchair there for the wedding. Then I visited him with Fok Chai last night. And you know what he told us? He was a very successful classmate. He did very well in life. MD of listed company, retired, and have very good life. And you know what he said? When he was in the bed, ridden like that, he never knew life can be like that. Because of that sleep disc, his whole leg cannot move. Not even 1 mm, no. And he said, like a useless person inside there. He said, cannot pass motion, have to do it in the bed. Urine also have to do it in the bed. Everything. And he said, first time in his life, you know, he never realized life can be like that. You know. Then he said, actually, life has got no meaning. Despite all the money and the wealth, no point. Even the person, the technician, or who that came and helped him do the physio, he said 1 month the salary is only about 2,000. And he paid him 1,000 just to take care of him that day. Because he said, with all the money, what can he do? Life, he suddenly have a different understanding of life. Now he look at life so differently. Now he say we better share experience and talk more about life. Last time was only career, money, everything. Then joke around, travel around. And all this. But his problem come from carrying very heavy luggage. So as you get old, don't carry heavy weight. Be careful. Okay, we have to go on a bit. So academic success, then you come out to work, is of course career success. Let's say you reach the pinnacle of your career. Very successful. Then, from there, financial freedom also come, isn't it? Because when you are successful in your business and career, you will have financial success there. So do you consider this a success in life? Of course, these three are very easy to achieve. Most people achieve it. Academic, career, financial freedom. Then, of course, you would like to have early retirement. Correct? To do the thing that you like to do. To travel and do whatever you like to do. So that is the fourth one. Early retirement to do the things that you want to do or like to do in life. Then the fifth one is what? Having an understanding, good and happy family unit, leading to good relationship success. This one, many, many people fail. Even the very rich, wealthy people, they fail. Only very rarely you see some or a handful have this beautiful family unit. Relationship success is very rare. Then let's say you have all this. Mundane-wise, you are considered as a very successful person. But then as you go through life, what happens? When you confront the reality of life and existence, like my classmate in the Sunway Hospital, you can still be happy when you are bedridden like that. Unless you have the Dhamma. Understand? Not? When there is separation from loved one, can you confront it? Can you still be happy? Pending death, is there fear? Do you understand who are you? What are you? What is death? Who died? What died? All these questions will linger on. That's why the Buddha's teaching is so powerful. That's why with this Dhamma, when you meditate and develop the understanding and the insight, you can confront all this reality without having any problem. There is no such thing as death. Who died? What died? Nothing die. When you meditate and have this understanding, when you can connect to the true nature, the true mind, then you realize the body and mind is not you. They are conditionalizing entity, karmically conditional for you to use and to live life. So use it. It's a vehicle and tool. It's not you. Do not be deluded by it. And that's where the secret of life is. So I read on and hopefully you all understand. The first four types of successes can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one is more difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding. Let us say you are able to achieve all the above materialistic success. But is your life really complete and are you really happy and safe? What happens when you are confronted with the first noble truth realities of life and existence? The Buddha said when you are confronted, when you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result as explained earlier on. Hence, one still need to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, this first noble truth, life's reality, can still afflict you. So in conclusion, you need the spiritual understanding to complement your materialistic success. Otherwise, you still suffer. Then I conclude. I say, my present life in this world was indeed rather blessed, for I not only excelled in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career. I was able to achieve my financial freedom fairly early, and this had enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career field or career life some 12 years ago. That was the year 2013. Yeah? Now it's about 15 years already. At the age of 46 plus, to do the thing that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends and colleagues are very cordial and good. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last 24 plus years since 1989, I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with this nature of mine to cope with their life's problem. With this, I will end my today's talk. Thank you so much for your patient and kind attention. So, that was the seminar paper I delivered. Yeah? So, hopefully, you all can develop the understanding and benefit from it. Eh? Yeah, you can rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is a very simple booklet. I think not many pages, to 17 pages. You can finish it off within an hour. Eh? But you have to reflect and contemplate deep into it, because a lot of important understanding and messages are all inside here. So, human life, when you don't understand, it can be very difficult and very traumatic. But when you understand, it turns around and it can be very beautiful and very meaningful. There's a Heart Sutta say, when you penetrate through emptiness, it's wonderful existence, life becomes wonderful, meaningful. So this is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. It can make such a great difference to your life. Then why are you waiting? If I were you, I would determine all the way to cultivate this understanding. That was what I did in the year 1971. The moment I came across this Four Noble Truths, deep inside told me, no need to search, that's it. Because this is what I need in life. Otherwise, I will suffer. I will become miserable. The moment I penetrate and understand, my life becomes so different. It is so meaningful, so beautiful. That's why since 1989, this form of mind, this nature, has become very different. Yeah. Then, because of condition and affinity, 11 years ago, I think, Yun Chan came. Then she was the one that actually invited me out to share. Otherwise, until today, I think very few people will know. But because of condition, also you all should thank your good past and good karma for having such condition and affinity. Then do strive on with heedfulness to develop this understanding. Here is your life. Nothing to do with me, you know. Whatever that happened through your hard work will only benefit you, not only this life, including all of your future life if you choose to come or you have to come. You know what is the two different? Choose to come means you are a bodhisattva, you can come back. You choose to come. Have to come means that one more difficult. Kang ko tampo. Because karma condition you back. You have to come. you got no say on that one. That one is karma decide. You cannot decide. But choose to come, your nature can decide. The condition, everything, you can make aspiration. Then you can guide the form and mind that come. And you don't take, technically you don't take rebirth. Because there is no avijja, delusion, that condition, rebirth, consciousness, no. It is just the pure mind that invoke the power of wisdom and understanding. Then that pure awareness, true loving kindness and compassion, great compassion and loving kindness, it can condition the pure mind to take rebirth. Yeah. That's why it's not really a rebirth. It's a karmically conditioned out form and mind that come. But it doesn't go through the death process of a death consciousness with delusion that condition rebirth consciousness and you take birth because of the law of karma. This one is different. The Bodhisattva, the Buddha, when they choose to come, they come through their own understanding. Then the causes and conditions, they already determine. Then it will fall into place. Then when the condition is ready, the nature's law, law of karma, they will create a form of mind appropriate to their cultivation, their vow, their karmic nature. All this will fall into place. Then that form of mind will come and it will connect. Then they will do what they're supposed to do. They will understand later on their vows, their cultivation, and everything. As you progress along the path of Dhamma, all the cultivator, finally, they will understand. So all this is very beautiful, very meaningful. Okay, you got any question? You still got about 6 or 7 minutes. Yes, the mic. Pass the mic to Joyce.
I think the subject today that Baruch brought up also brought up something that I came across a couple of days ago when my family went through a little bit of a roller coaster ride as well. And this has actually been told to me by my brother-in-law.
Oh, very good.
And I think it's quite appropriate to share it today.
Oh, very good.
Sounded, and probably have some reflection. Our own reflection. It may not sound very good at the beginning, so just if anyone feel offended, I apologize. It says that actually this is a poem. I think if I'm not mistaken, it was someone's grandchild asked the grandmother, "Where are you going?" I think perhaps quite near her death.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this is actually quite a famous, probably some of you may have heard this before, but I thought it's really, very beautiful. When this was repeated to me, I really feel quite a lot of joy, and actually at the same time I have goose pimples.
Oh, yeah, very touched.
I was very touched, actually, yeah. Honestly. Mm. And it goes like this. Do not stand at my grave and weep. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I'm not there. I do not sleep. I'm a thousand winds that blow. I'm the diamond glitz on snow. I'm the sunlight on ripened grain. I'm the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning hush, I'm the swift, uplifting rush of quiet birds in circled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I'm not there. I did not die.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Poem. Very good. Those who understand, they will know. That's why no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That's what the Buddha said. Remember the Jataka story? When one of the son in one of the life, where the Buddha was a bodhisattva, killed by a python. Then the king came by, then saw him burn the pyres only. Then asked, who is this that you are cremating? The Buddha said, my son. He said, your son? How come you didn't cry? He said. Then the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to be born is of the nature to die. Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So what has been born has already ceased. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. He just understand. Because no point. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. The dead is just a form of mind, no reality. Understand? No? This life may be give birth to it, you think it's your son. Law of karma recognizes, yes, you have to do your duty as a father and all those things. That's why there is such thing as law of karma that recognizes the relationship. But when it comes to ultimate truth, wisdom, through your meditative understanding, when you penetrate the form of mind, you understand there is no reality. Even your own form of mind is not what you are, not real. How can you have a child, children? All these are conditioned arising entity, but they follow an existential law, nature's law, karma. And that one you have to do your duty. That's why that one you cannot neglect your duty as a father, as a human being. You cannot do evil. Otherwise law of karma will hit back. But if you do your duty well, in future you will have good parents who will look after you the same way as you look after your children. So this is nature's law. And when you understand, you know how to live. And yet you are not deluded by what happened. When the first noble truth reality strike, separation and other things, it will not cause you any more suffering. You will understand them very clearly. And you will accept the reality of whatever that arises. Because this is life, not what you think. That's why this type of wisdom is very unique, very rare. This type of teaching is very, very unique. And because it is so unique, really, you can liberate your mind and go beyond. That's why there is no more suffering, no more misery, because the mind that is liberated is not deluded, not deceived, will not be entangled by any of all this. But it understands what life is, it will know how to live. It can still be a normal human being. It can still have emotion, feeling, happiness, but no negativity. There is just inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, inner clarity of mind, silent stillness, heedful, no more heedlessness, no more negativity. And life can be so simple and so beautiful when you understand. That's why meditation is very useful, very important. And to meditate is to silence, to connect to your nature, which was originally still, silent, tranquil, the oneness. You can call it the Buddha nature, or your true nature, or the oneness nature. Or the eternal life. So different religions call them by different things. But when you realize it through your meditation, you will understand that is the deathless element. That one was never born. Because it was never born, it will never die. It will never get old. It will never get sick. For old age sickness and death, birth and death, belongs to the form and mind, the segmented form and mind, not you. So this understanding can liberate your mind. That's why the Buddha liberate from the three problems of life, getting old, getting sick and die. Finally, he realized this body and mind was never him. That's why his problem no more. That's why he became enlightened, awakened. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Joy. Sadhu. 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 Any more sharing or question? Maybe one last one before we end. Yes. Pass to Susan. Before I forget, Joyce, come. These are the books I want to give to Clifford. The Metta Bhavana, Loving Kindness, is very good. Come, Clifford. These three books are very useful. Then this one is Loving Kindness. When you read it, Metta, you follow this one. This one is a very complete one. Very good. Susan, yes.
Brother Teo?
Yeah.
In the past, through the practice that I've been doing in the past, I've always had this perception that to be walking the Bodhisattva path is something so very difficult, so impossible to reach, and you'll be...
That is what most people have as a preconceived idea.
I'd like to thank you for clarifying today.
Yes.
Yeah, because...
I understand. No problem. So I rejoice too. Yes. And I rejoice too. Yeah. Actually, you cannot blame those people who think that way, because when you don't understand, it's always... When you don't understand, you think it's very difficult. It's just like most people in this human world. Especially those who are not so fortunate in life, does not excel in the academic field, does not have a good life or good career. They are from the maybe rural area, not successful. Then let's say one day you are a career speaker or motivator, you go and talk to them, hey, you have the potential to be a world champion or a very successful entrepreneur. You know what they think? Not for me. He straight away closed. And in the meditation field too, if you don't understand the Mahayana teaching, the Bodhisattva way, you will have that idea. You think it's impossible because their vows are like ridiculous. Like Tichang Wang Pusa, Asatong Bodhisattva. Not until the hell is empty or hell being, he vow not to realize the Sama Sambuddhahood. Then you will have this thought telling you, how can the hell be empty? Understand? They don't understand. That's why a lot of these things, if you don't understand, it's very difficult. But the moment you understand, it is very simple. Because like I explained to you all of these great beings, four pusa, they have their great understanding, their great vow, their cultivation, they have shown you the way. Even Amitabha's vow is so heavy, most difficult, yet he was able to realize it. Then when you have this understanding, where you can have affinity and connect to them all, like Pusyan, he can do one prostration. He will pay reverential salutation to all the Buddhas of the three period of time. Just one prostration. How can he do that? Because he understands the nature's law. He perfected that understanding. That's why his vow can be like that. And when he do, every wholesomeness, every prostration or reverential salutation that he make, they are limitless. The merits and blessings are limitless. But he not only do to one Buddha, to all the Buddhas of the three period of time, past, present, and future. That's why with that understanding, when you create affinity with all these great beings, and you understand their specific vows and all those things, then you will know how to connect. And when you connect, the whole thing becomes different. Your whole cultivation becomes very simple. Because you only have to be sincere and have the faith and persevere. Because when you make all this aspiration, adipan, the nature's law will be invoked and it will connect by itself. And it will arise a process and condition, and they will come, keep on supporting you. Then when you connect and develop the cultivation, the moment you connect, all these Buddhas and Bodhisattva, the great beings, their nature are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way, because they are so compassionate. They are so loving in their nature, and they will be ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. It's only whether you can receive their blessing or not. That's why to receive, you must have cultivation. You must have the condition to develop the affinity to connect. Then you will receive and you will move very fast. That's why when you understand this, your whole cultivation becomes very different, very easy. It's just like meditation. Even the Theravada tradition is the same. If you don't understand what is thought-based meditation and pure sati or awareness-based meditation, you can also be wasting your time and get lost for many, many lives, aeons and aeons, without penetrating the true Dhamma. Later on, when we read the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, it's also stated there, if you cannot connect to the nature and cultivate, your blessing and merits are actually of no meaning. They are earthly blessing. Understand? They are not true blessing of an enlightened being. That's why you must act from that wisdom, that understanding, that nature, that true mind. If you are thought-based, doing good is all conditioned good, good according to you. Understand? It's not the nature's good. And you can never see your own mind because you use your thought and you use your conditioning, which are your views and your opinion. Then your belief system, your religious labor. So all this, they bind. They actually delude you. That's why Krishnamurti said, you must develop that awareness of the process of this conditioning, how you get yourself entangled and become like that. Then how you become habitual in reacting to life and creating all those delusions to bring about so much suffering, not only to you, but also to fellow living beings, and pollute the consciousness of this universe or this planet of ours. It's only through understanding, through wisdom, through awareness, to clear understanding of what is happening, then you come to realize who you are, what you are, and how you become what you are. Then from there, you reverse the meditation to an understanding. Then you cultivate according to the understanding. And then you progress very fast. Then your mind will transform, your nature will arise. Then you will become very different. And this one, the so-called you, is not a human being, it's not an entity. It's the understanding through that nature. Then you use this vehicle, the form and mind, the so-called segmented living being. This life, this one is my form and mind, you're called Brother Teo. And this is my physical body. They call it the functional body that performs the function of my nature. Then this consciousness inside, connected to the wisdom, this is the perfection body or Sambhogaya Kaya, the cultivation body with the Dhamma, with the understanding. This is the one that can share and bring about understanding to the living being. That's why it can be a blessing to all. So when the physical body has this spiritual body or what they call Sambhogaya Kaya, then it transforms into a Dhamma Kaya, a Dhamma body that can speak the Dhamma, share the Dhamma, propagate the Dhamma. So with that understanding, I think you will have a lot of joy. So it's not difficult. You only need to be sincere, have faith, persevere. The rest, aditan, or make vow, aspiration. Because when you go through all these sessions, even Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, the merits that you accumulate, I tell you, when you have faith and you are very sincere, is actually limitless. You will never know the extent of your merit until later on when you connect. Then you understand. Even a single thought, a pure thought, that is what Bodhidharma says. You can arise a single thought of pure thought, which is without delusion, that is higher than all of the merit that you have cultivated for aeons and aeons of time using your thought. Even your donation, your generosity, all. If you use thought, you cannot even compare to one cultivator who arises a pure thought to just act out of that pure thought. That wholesomeness is without the evil roots one. And that is true blessing, true merits, the pure thought. That's why it's only the enlightened being that can do this type of thing. They don't act according to memory, they act according to understanding, and they are incapable of negativity. Oh, we better end 10:30 something already. Yeah, we rejoice. Okay, we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer of merit, then after that you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca ammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.